Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, but with me, as always, is my co-host Nick Mason.
I'm here. Yeah. You cracked open a kombucha, and then you took a drink and you set it down, and then you stared at your hands.
It sprayed all over my hand when I opened it.
Oh, I see.
It. Yeah.
But it just had some sort of gummy texture on your hands there. I don't know what.
I'm just having a good time over here.
We're all having a good time, I think.
Absolutely. Do not even worry about it, Mason.
Mm.
Quick thing up top. We're doing my wife and I are doing a Sex and the City recap for the new Sex and the City series, and just like that. The first episode is in The Suggestible Feed, which is our less successful podcast
together. On.
But it's also going to have – it's going to go up on Apple as its own thing this week. Nice. I figured if there's somebody out there who likes Sex and the City and also likes whatever this is, maybe they'll be interested, because I fit in that demographic. What about
Same,
you?
Same, yeah. I think we have both seen every episode of Sex and the City.
It's true.
And maybe one of the movies.
I've seen
most people
are
– wow.
Yeah.
Was that a recent thing?
No, I saw it when it came out. And let me tell you this.
Yep.
It's not good.
So
people were right about that.
So how many episodes of this new Sex and the City have there been?
I think there's going to be 8 or 10. There's been 2 so far. Okay. No spoilers, but pretty big revos.
I heard there's a big revo.
There's a huge revo.
There's a big revo. I hear there's a – I think you predicted that particular revo, though.
Like 10 years ago? Yes, I did.
If – look, spoiler. Well,
it was a point they were going to put in the third movie.
I see, right. Yeah. Okay, but if I may –
please.
You can feel free to cut this out. Or like, here's a spoiler for a thing that I've heard on a show that I'm not watching.
There'll be a time code if you do want to jump in.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no ads this week, so.
Well, there will be. There'll be cast. There'll be automatically inserted ads.
Anyway, as I understand it, Big is killed on a Peloton.
Yes.
He dies on a Peloton, the exercise machine.
We get into it, but like, it's weird because it's like mentioned like a branded sponsor.
Yeah.
And then he dies after riding it. And then afterwards, Steve's like, he shouldn't have even run that Peloton. And Miranda's like, well, actually, his doctor said that it was very safe for him to ride Peloton.
And then Peloton released a statement this week about it was probably all the smoking, all the big cigars and all the drinking and all the
Peloton
steaks.
Peloton actually improves heart health, actually.
That's right.
It would be hilarious if they actually paid for that sponsored bit and then they used it to kill a beloved character. But anyway.
Like the CEO was like, listen, we know the Sex and the City gals are all about fitness and exercise and looking their best.
Remember they're having those Krispy Kreme donuts? That was a big deal.
And we will
those.
Sponsor you,
yep.
But you must kill one of your characters with it. And we'll act outraged, but we're totally on board with this.
You're probably right. There was a stock dip. It was a whole thing. We talk about that a lot in the first episode, but I'm going to talk about more next week.
All right.
Anyways, this week, if you don't want to jump to any particular point in time, we've got Cowboy Bebop, sad news. We've got the Game Awards went on and a bunch of stuff was revealed that we're going to get into.
Yes.
Trailers ahoy. the bunch of stuff going on that bloody there, man. I'll tell you that many things. So including Sonic 2.
Oh, yes.
We got a rumor of MODOK coming up and who will be playing MODOK.
Oh.
A poster for Thor Love and Thunder. Somebody.
Is that a real poster?
Apparently I think it is.
Huh.
I think.
Huh.
We should check out Taika Waititi's Twitter before we launch into that. Somebody, a major Black Panther player may be leaving Black Panther.
Is it the one we think?
It's probably the one you think.
Yeah, I kind of thought it'd be the one we thought.
Daredevil in the MCU, a Doctor Strange trailer, a little bit about Spider-Man because it's Spider-Man Eve, isn't it? Spider-Man. And then we're going to talk about Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That's right.
2 months after it came out in other places in the world.
Okay, Taika Waititi on Twitter 8 hours ago. This is so bad that I kind of wish it was an official poster. It's definitely what I would have done if I was in charge of posters. So that's not, it's not.
It's not real. Okay, good.
It's not real. So MCU, the director, said this is the official new promo poster.
It's because it looks kind of like a, you know, like a sprayed on the side of a van kind
it
of
really does, doesn't kind it? Of thing. Put it on your sweet Camaro or something. Yeah.
That was a very last minute addition as I was looking after my kids. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll put this in or whatever.
Because it's got like multiple Thors on it.
Yeah, it's there was way too many people on it.
And Jane Foster's on it at least a couple of times. Valkyrie, and Korg's just like, hello.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Anyway, thank God you got ahead of that, mate.
Very embarrassing for us if that were the case.
Yeah, I agree. Anyways, let's get into it because Cowboy Bebop, 3 weeks after its debut mm-hmm. on Netflix, they've cancelled it. Now, there's been a lot of talk of like, was it too faithful? Was it too faithful to the source material? Was it not faithful enough? Was it a watered down version? I saw a pretty interesting thread about how they didn't kind of lean into the political aspects of the anime,
the themes of dystopian future, and how it crushes the little guy kind of thing,
and how like the bounty hunters are actually better than the actual like crime fighting force, and a bunch of other stuff. Too cringe, some people said.
Oh,
well.
Yes.
Then again, there was a lot of people who like actually rather enjoyed it and thought it was a pretty solid adaptation. For me, I don't think any of those reasons matter to why this was cancelled. I think it mustn't have rated well because that's all that matters.
Yes, but once again, Netflix is, they're what's the opposite of transparent? They're that.
Opaque.
They're very opaque. Thank you, James.
You're welcome.
In terms of like, they're like, this is one of the best openings we've ever seen. This is the best thing. Incredible. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, yeah, we're cancelling it though. It's so.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know anybody who's watched it.
Like I've watched it.
I look at my in all my awful group chats.
Oh,
nobody's talking about it. People are still talking about Squid Game. They're like, "Have you seen Squid Game?" Yes, we all watched Squid Game at the same time.
Don't you listen to my podcast? No, you don't. Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's funny because like often they'll be like, "Oh, you like niche stuff or whatever." And I'm like, "You mean I talk about the biggest movies in the world, and you talk about basketball?" So in a way, we both like two of the most popular things in the world, you know.
Sure,
and they're like, "Is there crossover there? Is there crossover? Do you think
Space Jam?
People listening to
Space Jam, James. Yeah. Space Jam.
But do you think people would enjoy like one of the most popular sports in the world and enjoy movies as well?
I don't think so. Those are two different things. You got to pick one, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my daughter's waking up. Let's just see how that goes.
Let's just write it out. Sure.
Yeah. So I just think, it's a numbers thing. It probably didn't get enough people on board. Mm-hmm. People weren't sticking with it.
Yeah.
And that's probably what happened. Also,
why give it any time to find an audience?
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
it's
just cancel it now. Yeah.
But look, it's obviously expensive. Uh-huh. And it's also, it's sad that, and I think, you know, we often forget this when anything gets cancelled or sequels don't get made or scripts don't get commissioned or series abruptly ended, a bunch of people, lose their jobs
that's
abruptly.
True.
Like, often finding out on social media when everybody else does, which sucks.
Oh, yeah, that's very true, isn't it? Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, I better
You check on the old.
The old
ball and chain, i.e. your child.
The Game Awards happened, Mason.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't watch it because I like to just see what happened and then watch the trailers afterwards.
I didn't watch.
And any cringe compilations.
Oh, I hope there wasn't too much cringe. I didn't watch because we were not up for any awards.
Weren't we?
No.
Again?
Yeah, exactly. So we're disqualified. Not because we've won in any previous year, but, you know, for all the stuff we've done.
Oh.
Yeah.
They know about that, do they?
They know about all their stuff.
Oh, no.
All their various stuff, you know? Cringe stuff, which is most of the stuff we do, if we're perfectly honest.
So we did get
folks email in. What percentage of what we do is cringe?
Yeah.
Based on the modern evaluation of what cringe is.
I don't know because anything can be cringe depending on interpretation. Right?
That's true. I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd be curious to know.
I think we do it. I think we do a lot of dad jokes, and I think that is probably cringe.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've got an excuse. What's your excuse?
I can't think of better jokes. The main reason.
That's a pretty good.
Let's
see how many jokes people can do on a podcast. If they do 500 podcasts, how many jokes they're doing in their podcasts, you know?
Good, great point.
Thanks.
Maybe heaps, though. I don't know. Depends, like, depends on the podcast.
Maybe we should try harder, you know?
Sure.
Anyways, we got footage.
I mean, why start now, though? Why?
I know. Let's not break formula. Footage for Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. And not just any footage, some gameplay footage. Seems run and gun-ish. I did see a tweet that somebody sent to us that I wish I had in front of me. I don't. Where it was like, why isn't Captain Boomerang throwing any boomerangs? He's like got a gun or whatever. And I didn't pay that much attention to it, if I'm honest. But I honestly don't know. What do you think of it?
I didn't see this.
Here we go. Oh, this is from Socko Space. Says, I don't know if you guys are covering the Game Awards stuff this week, but it's pretty disappointing that most of the gameplay shown was just running and gunning, unless Boomerang's gun shoots little boomerangs.
Oh, I'm dead against maybe his special is boomerangs, but yeah. Like, you know, maybe most of the time Harley is firing a gun, but then she brings out the hammer for special moves or something like that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to watch a snippet of it now.
Have a quick look-see.
A quick squiz.
It's flash-focused. So presumably, like, throughout the, you know, you'll focus on one Justice League member at a time and...
Oh, I see. It's flash-focused, not... There was a moment of confusion, but there was quite a bit of confusion there. I'm like, does he mean, like, flash animation? Does he mean...
Oh, that's
quick time events.
That might not exist anymore.
Yeah, that thing that maybe they shut down.
Well, why don't we take a brief pause while you have a look, see, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay, guns shooting. No, I'm Doop Jones. This is happening. This is really good stuff. It's really good for me.
Yeah,
and it's good for the listener. I think
the listener who's already seen this footage.
Yes, exactly. Okay, evil Flash. Good.
Yep.
Okay, a lot of this does look sort of like non-game footage, though, also.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It does remind me a bit of the Guardians of the Galaxy game as well.
Yeah.
I think this is more of an open world.
Is this
situation.
See, what I'm seeing here is a lot of, like, a little bit of you do a leap, but then you maybe hit an attack button and it goes into sort of a quick time style event where you leap between somebody's legs and you do a super move and stuff like that. I mean, it still looks good. It's great.
I'm happy with it,
James. King Shark is a scythe, so that's nice.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun, actually. Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is fun,
James. I'm loving it.
Yeah,
this to me looks more interesting to me than the Gotham Knights one.
Yeah, well, Gotham Knights does just feel just like more Batman Arkham, even though different universes, etc. But yeah, I think both. I'm interested in Gotham Knights in terms of the people who made Arkham Origins.
Yes,
and they were kind of bound to that in a
now
short
they're not,
period of time.
Yeah,
and I think there's a lot of good stuff in that game, despite it. You know, not being the most beloved
one. Now with Gotham Knights, they get a chance to make it a loot box shooter.
Oh, I can't
wait. On mobile.
I cannot wait, Mason.
And it's that game where you see the little man and he's trapped in a room or whatever. And he's like, he's got to pull the thing, but then the acid comes and gets him.
That acid's getting him.
But it's Nightwing.
Yeah.
He's like,
the acid got me.
I always pull the wrong one.
I'm Bones now. Yeah. You did this because you didn't save me in the ad.
But then you go and you're like, maybe I will play this game. And you click on it. The game's nothing like that.
Yeah.
I don't even understand it.
Why did
I do
it?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kill the Justice League looks good.
Agreed. Anyway, Warner Brothers and Monolith Productions also revealed through a cinematic trailer that they're making a Wonder Woman open world game.
Oh.
This is by the people who did Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and Shadow of War. Did you ever play those?
I remember them.
They're very good. I think the second one actually...
Nemesis System.
Mm. The second one I didn't actually play because... I think they might have changed.
You were scared.
I was scared of the Nemesis system.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
but
you were afraid that all the monsters you'd grievously injured in the previous game were going to
come back and get me
with graphical improvements.
But it was I can't remember this.
And would come into the real world. You told me. I remember.
It's all coming back now.
You're like, what if all my nemesis
came
back?
You came around and I was hiding under my bed.
That's true. Yeah.
But and the second one, I think it was bogged down in like gameplay extending like loot box crap.
Yeah, there
so
we
I
go.
Ended up getting it. I don't know whether they fix it for like the final one, but that second one, as a result of that, and maybe other things, didn't do as well.
Yeah,
but the system itself is quite good. The combat's Arkham-esque. It's got like the Assassin's Creed like traversal, and as you mentioned, the Nemesis system, which is exclusive to Warner Brothers. So that's why we haven't seen that pop up in other.
We've seen it in other games, but I guess they're all Warner Brothers.
Yeah, well, this is, so it's specific to this, to these this company. Do you want to explain the Nemesis?
Well, as I understand it, a lot of the enemies in this game are sort of notable enemies. They have, you know, names and various characteristics. And if you injure one and they escape, then they become your nemesis.
Well,
and then they're like,
it's not only that.
Yeah.
If you get killed by a rando.
Yeah.
That person will then become a leader
of
like a little battalion. And then if they kill you again, they get a castle and whatever. And like they'll get a scar and then
they remember. They kill you another time, they get a Maserati.
Yeah. And they taunt you. They're like, yeah. well, look who's come back or whatever.
Then I'm
under my bed.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a lot of fun. Like, again, just the first game, I thought it was terrific. But
speaking of that voice, did you say that Jason Statham, Guy Ritchie movie trailer?
I put it in. I didn't watch the trailer, but I put it in because I figured you'd watch it.
Yeah, I did.
Well, we'll talk about it. We're going to do trailers in a while. But first, let's talk about The Matrix video game experience they revealed.
Yeah, the Unreal.
People are saying truly next gen.
I'll tell you what, we're going to speak about the next one in a moment, but we've reached the point where I spent a lot of this trailer and another trailer, which we're going to talk about, going, some of this live action?
Yeah.
Very obviously Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
But some of it I'm like, what are they doing here? How have they managed this? But this is Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss sort of doing a in between call. It's an Unreal Engine tech demo that is apparently if you got the chance to you know use it in person, it was somewhat interactive. There were like gameplay elements. There was a car chase and all this sort of stuff where they are sometimes they're themselves in the trailer and then sometimes they become Neo and Trinity in the Matrix. It looks incredible.
Like, as you mentioned, how much of this is like pre-rendered, whatever. But regardless, if it's all Unreal Engine, that is, it looks better than most CGI people in movies.
Yeah,
you know.
And there was elements of it where it's like, okay, each one of the cars and pedestrians in the demo, they all have like their own AI elements
to them.
They're not just like, oh, well, you go around a corner and let's generate 100 people.
Yeah.
They're in the engine already and they're reacting to what's happening around them, which I think is...
They're going, what's happening?
They are going, exactly like that, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about some Matrix trailer. There was a Matrix trailer.
There was a final trailer. I think
you didn't want to watch it.
I watched maybe a minute of it and I spent that minute thinking, oh, it's amazing that we're so close to the release of this.
Yeah.
But we haven't really...
We definitely talked about this, didn't we?
I think we did it off air. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
But I spent the whole minute going like, it's amazing that we're so close to the release of this. And unlike a lot of, you know, trailer releases for, you know, big time movies, we haven't been able to discern the entirety of the plot from trailer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yet. There's almost no sense. They're very aptly built these trailers so you can't just figure out what is happening. Unlike a lot of movies, a lot of trailers recently, I haven't been able to point to an element of it and go, that's the final shot in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's the final shot in the movie. That's the last action sequence.
That's the final shot in the trailer, I reckon.
The bit right before the end.
Oh, wait, there's a sting after that.
Oh, there's a bit of the end. But then after that minute, I'm like, I think they are straying into spoiler territory. Yeah, so I'm going to stop
now. You did the right thing, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just going to check if we talked about it last week. I'm pretty sure we did. I'm just checking my show notes from last week.
Well, we
did.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no, we talked about a different one.
Nice.
But, yeah, there was a different kind of trailer last week. But, yeah, so my fear is that it's just a recap. It's just like, let's just do all the Matrix again. Remember this? We're doing this again. That would be my
fear. The fear is that it is a man who maybe is named Thomas Anderson or some anagram of Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
He goes to a shrink and they say, well, you're actually not crazy because it's actually just your virtual world is impinging on your life or whatever or something. And then you think you're...
I'm going to have to do The Matrix.
Exactly, yeah. So you think you maybe you're experiencing The Matrix, but you're just thinking of the movie The Matrix or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the midway point, he's like, no, actually, The Matrix is real. And then it's just The Matrix again is the fear.
Because you didn't see the very last line of the trailer.
Yes.
Where he says, I still know Kung Fu. And I'm like...
Did he say this?
He said it.
And I'm like, that a fun joke you've done there, James?
That's cool, I guess.
Right.
But...
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I hope it's not that.
Yeah,
it's like I swung out of that helicopter.
And I can do it now because I've remembered doing it last time, so I'll do it again.
So that is my, again, like, so excited to see it.
Mm-hmm,
Anyway, we'll see, won't we?
Yes.
But there was also a trailer for Quantic Dream's Star Wars Eclipse.
Now let me tell you this, James.
Famously terrible company.
Well, I was going to say, so up until... today, I didn't know there was a new Star Wars game.
There's a few.
And I watched this and I'm like, oh, this is very exciting. And right at the end, it's like from Quantic Dream. And up until this point, I wasn't aware of who, like up until like earlier in the week, I wasn't aware who Quantic Dream were. And I'm like, huh, that's a company. I know it's the company behind Heavy Rain and a couple of
Heavy
other
Rain,
things.
Heavy Rain, they did
Detroit Become
Detroit,
Human.
Racism and Robots.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But I was not aware.
It was a metaphor. For racism.
Oh, right.
Did you get it? That's
interesting because apparently the company's really terrible.
Well, that's the
profoundly
thing. That's
terrible.
The thing about most of these big video game companies. Like, they're pretty much all terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To different degrees.
Yeah.
Like Blizzard's awful and...
Activision's awful. Oh, they're the same, I think.
Maybe
now.
Probably. I forget who owns her.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all pretty universally terrible for different reasons, whether it be like...
Crunch is the biggest one.
Like sexual assault, like multiple sexual assault allegations, whether it's underpaying employees, whether it's laying off a bunch of people, whether it's not crediting people properly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
well, let's cover that off and then we can talk about the trailer. I just found, sure. I saw this article posted on Twitter. Report, Quantic Dream executives cry, ask if they can lie during recent court appearance.
So, ask if they can lie.
Okay.
You can.
Yeah. Quantic Dream executives recently appeared in a Paris court as part of its ongoing defamation lawsuit against French publications Le Monde and Mediapart. But according to a May 31 report, things didn't go smoothly for the studio. Independent French union Solidaires Informatiques reports that co-CEOs David Cage and Guillaume de Fondemire both exhibited strange behavior during their testimonies. Cage allegedly cried on the stand, stomping his feet, screaming about interferences to his business and damage to his honor, and eventually storming out of the courtroom altogether. Near the end of his own testimony, de Fondemire reportedly looked at the judges and asked, "But I'm not under oath, so I can lie," before claiming Quantic Dream was seriously damaged by the stories about its toxic work environment. So they said the judge was like, "So your company was damaged by this these allegations," and he went, "Can I lie?" And they went, "Yeah, sure." And he went, "Yeah, then yes." Big damages all around. He didn't provide proof of these damages.
Oh wow.
So that's cool, I think. I think that's cool stuff.
Look, he said he could lie. But that's
true.
He did lie.
That's true. Yeah. If anything, it's poor form and our part to assume that he would lie after that.
Look, to be honest, I never, I've never got into their games, and a lot of people did. And like, look at the there's visual elements to this, and it's storytelling. You can only tell through video games.
You can shake your controller, and it brushes your teeth.
Your son can get kidnapped by heavy rain.
That's right.
It's a villain of the game.
I think.
But
I saw the West Side Story trailer again earlier today. And there's a moment where somebody asks the main guy, "Who are you?" And there was just a second where I thought he'd go, "I'm Wes, Wes Side Story." The T is silent. The first T, not the second T. Because otherwise that would be Wes Side Story. Doesn't that's
Wes,
not a
I'm Wes Side Story.
Yeah.
Excuse me? anyway, it's set in the it's kind of a shame also with this stuff because so many amazing people work on this stuff.
Yeah, you know, and well, I mean? Again, this game looked. There was moments in it where I'm like, "Is that actors on set?"
No, I think it was.
But it's all
so it's High Republic era. It's going to be an intricately balanced, branching action adventure game with multiple playable characters. High Republic era is set something like 500 years before Phantom Menace.
Okay,
they've done a bunch of comics in that era. They've done multiple books. It's kind of this new era they've been exploring in, like the smaller mediums, I guess.
James, all I care about is the Trade Federation's back
and Yoda.
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, so he'd be a mere like 400, 500 years old. Okay, wow.
Just a simple babe in the woods.
Yeah.
I guess he'd be like 14 at that point.
Mm.
I shouldn't even be on this council. Oh no! I've dropped my laser sword down the toilet. And it was on.
No, it's cut through all the plumbing. Mom.
So, yeah, I don't know. I hope it's good. Looks good.
What I enjoy about that is we haven't even attempted to give him any sort of rhyming. He hasn't developed it yet. And I hope that's like, because we've never seen any other Yodas besides Baby Yoda.
And
so maybe
talk, yeah.
Maybe it's just an affectation. Nobody else does it.
You might be right.
Mm.
Let's do trailers, Mason. First one. Well, we're getting a full one this week.
Oh, but Quantic Dream, it looked amazing. All of it looked incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we know anything about, in terms of gameplay-wise, what it is?
Well, branching storylines, multiple characters, action, adventure. Because if it's just like walk to a place and have a discussion with the guy who owns a shop or whatever,
yeah,
I'm not interested
in
that.
Point clicks back, baby.
Yeah, I want like to play.
Yeah, but I mean, what is it? First person? Is it third person?
If it's like the others, it would be third person.
Okay, right.
With some teeth brushing elements to it. So that's fun.
Yeah. Shake your controller to retrieve your lightsaber from out of the toilet.
So should we do some trailers?
Yes.
So there'll be a longer one around the time this goes up, but there's a brief look at Fantastic Beasts, Dumbledore Has a Secret.
Did I see the same trailer you did, which is like it's a 2.5 minute trailer, but it's like a minute and a half of just people saying, "Hey, remember the old Harry Potter stuff? Do you love it? You love it.
20 years ago, we did Harry Potter.
Now you love it. Now everybody's got a wand. You got a wand? You should get a wand.
Yeah, that's true.
You seen the live show? You should see the live show.
You should see the live show. So I hope the secret is revealed that he was like maybe a Nazi briefly. Because in the books he was all like, I think I like wizard purity. And then his sister died and he was like, oh, maybe.
And who are we talking about? Dumbledore. Oh, yeah. No. Really? Yeah. Do you think so?
That was a thing.
You think they would go that far
in
this
movie?
Yeah, not
a good guy. Like,
yeah,
at all.
Right.
Also, I would love...
But I mean, that is... See, that's... I think that would have been written in an era, which is not that long ago, obviously, but an era where you could put a character onto screen with some sort of nuance in.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, don't think now people would be like, excuse me, Dumbledore, he's cancelled.
Yeah, I think it's genuinely and like an interesting thing where like he was younger and he had this particular ideology and then he changed. To like a somewhat less worse man who basically raised a boy to be slaughtered by a snake man.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
So, but mate, do you think he'll just be like, I'm gay, I'm a gay man, or do you think they won't like do it like at all again, like just not mention it?
God.
Because, you know, in every other, they'll say it on Twitter, be like, Dumbledore's gay and whatever, and he had a relationship with this person.
No, because in the last one, didn't they say that their bond was more than any kind of love or something?
Yeah, but they didn't say it. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm saying they wouldn't. I'm saying what they think they did is they sort of leapfrogged that idea in its entirety and they can't go back to it.
Okay,
in the sense of, like, they were like, everybody's expecting them to say Dumbledore is gay, but then they went, well, actually,
actually, he's not gay. And, and he's got abs. And he's got lots of cool mates.
That's right.
Yeah.
And his wife's a hot model.
He's got a hot wife.
Yeah, a hot wife.
And a mistress who's also hot.
Yeah.
But a different kind of hot. He likes two different types of
but he can have all the different kinds of hot ladies he wants because he's Dumbledore. But I think that I feel like because in the previous one they went, well, actually, the bond between Dumbledore and Grindelwald is the most, it's more powerful than any.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Well. Give us a sec, everybody. We're just going to pause the old poddo. Sorry, everybody. My wife and son just returned from a carols by candlelight Christmas carols.
That's right. He had a little flaming torch.
He did.
It was dangerous.
He was waving around. He was like, I'm going to kill you, Frankenstein. But he was looking at Mason.
No.
I'm like, the Frankenstein was the creator of the monster, not the monster himself, I said.
That's
but he wasn't
right.
listening.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was like, you want some of this? You want some of this, Dad? This flaming torch? I got a pitchfork for you, mate, is what he said. I was going to say, I think because in the last movie they said of Dumbledore and Grindelwald, oh, their bond was the most powerful bond. It was more powerful than any love or whatever it was they said love.
But...
No, probably not. But I think they're going to use that as an excuse to just sort of just entirely leapfrog that discussion and be like, no, we actually talked about it last time.
Yeah.
That's what we're always talking
about. You need to keep up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So
we're actually very progressive. Anyway, you also watched the trailer for Operation Fortune of Ruse de Grrr.
Yeah. Look pretty all right.
Did it look better than the last one?
Good question. It's got Hugh Grant doing that same character. Not the exact same character.
Oh, that's
but he's doing this kind of...
Is he Pacino-ing it? Is he going to do that for the rest of
his life? Yeah, he's doing this Cockney guy now for the remainder of his career,
yeah,
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Look fun. It's good. It's Statham's in it. Aubrey Plaza's in it. Like a lot of people we enjoy.
I quite liked the one before the last one.
So not The Gentleman.
Yeah. No, The Gentleman. There was one after that with Statham and he was getting revenge and he was like a security guard guy.
Oh, yeah. And I saw billboards for that.
That was felt to me very like generic Statham mechanic. Whereas The Gentleman, I thought.
Oh, it's the one where Bank Robbers killed his wife, so he decided to become
his son or something, I can't remember. But yes, that felt like any Statham movie.
Yes.
Whereas The Gentleman felt more like classic Guy Ritchie.
Well, it's way more like that.
Good.
It's a little bit of Red Notice, and you know how well that goes.
Biggest movie of all time.
500 billion hours
Everybody's
watched.
Everybody's still watching it.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was a trailer, or as you said before the show when you watched it, is it a trailer or a movie or whatever, a video game, for Halo, the TV series on Paramount Plus. I mean, it is at the point where, like, often video game trailers are indistinguishable from television.
Yes, yes.
You know, because they both use the Unreal Engine to render scenes and whatever. So this is coming in.
Who's making money off that Unreal Engine? I assume the creators of Unreal Engine.
Mr. Unreal.
Okay.
I guess.
The writer of Unreal Banana Peel? Children's book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Far out Brussels sprout?
So it was originally made for the game Unreal, and then it's been upgraded for decades at this point. Mm. Who created that? 3D Realms?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. They're doing all right. Commander Keen's probably making that money.
So that's coming out in 2022.
Think they're ever going to do a gritty reboot of Commander Keen?
No.
Because they did that Doom. Oh, they did the Doom remake.
Yeah.
And
the Doom was already gritty.
I guess that's true, but I guess maybe I mean a more modern version because Commander Keen is a descendant of the Doom guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, he could play.
The family line goes, you know, guy from Wolfenstein,
yep.
Doom guy, yep. Commander Keen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, he could play him, though.
Who's that?
Chris Brad Mason, you know, because he bloody plays everybody.
Hell yeah. Him. Or yeah. Tom Holland.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Hello. Commander Keen.
I'll put my helmet on backwards.
I can't see nothing.
I want to be a hero like
that. That's his catchphrase. It's on the poster. I can't see nothing.
Nothing. N-U-F-F.
I-N-K, yes. Did you see his hot ones this week, Tom Holland's hot
good.
Ones? It was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
I loved that he talked about, like, that they always ask, what's your relationship with spicy food? And he talked about how, you know, what he orders at Nando's.
Yeah.
Which I think was a lot of fun.
There's a medium at Nando's.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
That's not very hot, though, is it? My understanding.
It's hotter than lemon and herb.
I mean, I'll get a medium, no problem.
Will any you?
Day of the week. Yeah.
And you get the chips, which are your favorites.
Nando's are fucked. It's too expensive. And it takes too long. So it's like, it's supposed to be fast food, but it's not fast. Mm. But it's priced like a restaurant, but it's not like a restaurant quality food. It's just like average fast food. Get fucked, Nando's.
Anyway, that's our Nando's ad. We're sponsored by Nando's this week.
It's fine. Like, it's honestly all right. Anyway.
Be sure to say that it sucks and then say, nah, it's fine. It's all right. They're in the talking points.
So do you think after the Mandalorian, because this has been in the work for years.
The Nando-lorian.
Because, like, I think District 9 was supposed to be a Halo movie at one point.
Oh, yeah,
or
right.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know that Peter Jackson was also involved and he produced District 9 or whatever. But do you think after The Mandalorian they went, oh, yeah, we can do a no-helmet takeoff thing, I reckon, now?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's always been the, you know, they've always had to find, the Marvel movies have found, you know, a decade's worth of working around that. Either your helmet gets torn off or you exist in a virtual world in the helmet so we can see your face no matter what, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
So now it's just like, yeah. Master Chief never takes his helmet off.
But he
does talk.
I mean, he does. I think he does, but you don't see his face. Like,
yeah,
he
might, right.
He'll suit up in a whatever.
Sure. And he has, like, generic army guy haircut and stuff. And it's like, could be blonde, could be brown hair, whatever you are.
Yeah, that's, whatever you are.
That's right.
But he is white. Which makes sure this is
that's right.
Assured.
Yeah. To be clear, if you're not white, you can still enjoy the Halo franchise, but you're you're another Spartan, and they're all dead now. He's the last one.
It's the last one. Apparently, that new one's really good. It made me go like, oh,
Halo Infinite.
Wish I had an Xbox.
Oh, okay.
You know? Anyway, and the last trailer, of course, we're going to talk about this week is Sonic 2.
Mm.
Big return for both Tails Johnson, whatever his name is, and
Prower.
Thank you. Yes. And Knuckles.
Yeah, it's just an awkward. Either give him it doesn't matter.
They've already named him. They named him in the 90s.
Yeah, it's too late now. Yeah. Why am I complaining now 30 years after the fact?
And Knuckles is like, you can't have my power. And Knuckles is like, I don't need your power. I already got all my powers. But they're going to team up and beat up
you think so?
Jim Carrey. Yep.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Well, Knuckles is a good guy.
That's true. Well,
eventually.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. That leaves three heroes and one villain.
Yes, 1-0. Bloody got him.
You talking about James Marsden?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he's good. I like him. As someone who was surprised by that Sonic movie, and I think it's a really
why it's his very existence.
Yeah. Well, that and it's okay, and it's a pretty good kids movie. I think this looks pretty good.
Have you shown your son Sonic 1?
Yeah, we went and saw it together.
Okay,
and he loved it. He
was like, I was not aware at the time when we watched it, and I've learned it recently that Sonic becomes more powerful in the presence of his friends or something. That's like the
get out of
because that worked. That's what happens at the end of the first one, and I'm like, "This is okay, but whatever." But apparently, that's like that's canonical.
So his confidence gets him.
I guess so.
Gets him rock hard. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe all his friends roast him, and that's what that's what he's into.
Okay, fair enough. Good on him. You're going to see. You're excited for Sonic 2?
Well, they all slap him with a big paddle.
Here's a question for everybody.
Go on.
I want to get my son a Sonic game for Christmas. He wants Sonic racing, right? Which is, it's about basically Mario
Sonic, get him Sonic Racist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's quick time, but you don't want it.
What other games do you think on the Switch? Because he's played the classic ones and even the updated classic ones.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they're as good as like Mario platformers.
What about?
There's like a cool kind of 3D shifting one that I might get as well.
Is there a two-player one? You can play with him.
Yeah, well, that's
is there like, what about Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games?
Well,
I don't think that's very good.
That has come up as well. But
okay.
I think it's a lot of like waggling and I don't want to play mini games.
You don't want to look like a fool standing there waggling these things when you could just be like clicking.
And I could be crushing him in Sonic Races.
Right, exactly.
You know? And Sonic Races.
Well, you know all the slurs and he doesn't know any slurs yet. You haven't told him any.
I don't know all the slurs, like, instinctively. They're just, like, on the internet, you know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just Google list of slurs and he doesn't know how to do
that.
He couldn't
do that, yeah. Exactly. It's rumor time, Mason.
Okay.
Bring in the rumor trolley.
Rumor chimes? Sure. I think there should be some spooky rumor chimes.
Can you put in some spooky rumor chimes, please, Collings? That was too spooky.
Oh, no.
Now I don't want to finish this. I'm scared. So this is from Daniel Richtman on Twitter.
Okay. Now, remind me again if this guy's bona fides.
He does a lot of solid scoops.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people
right.
say that's not the case, but he's more right than not.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a rumor. Darren Cross is going to be returning. We knew that in Ant-Man and the Quantum Mania.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to be MODOK.
Oh!
Which makes sense because he was squashed into a little quantum realm man.
Oh, were we saying that MODOK, so not the actor isn't returning to be a new character, MODOK, a la...
No, Darren Cross is, because his name is, in real life, Corey Stoll, I want to say?
Yeah, I think it's also Corey Stoll.
And, sorry, but Darren Cross in the MCU is going to become MODOK because they don't have to do, like, introduce a new guy.
Right, so this isn't a case of, like, you know, you were a Kree and now you're Cersei and we just hope no one notices kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, they could make him a big face in a chair and...
Wasn't he, like, smushed into nothingness?
Yeah, but quantum realm and magic.
Oh, okay, he was in the quantum realm, science, okay. Right. Okay.
You know, maybe he stretches out of the quantum realm and he doesn't
grow properly. Maybe they try to re-embiggen him out of the... They're like, we'll just use these pin particles and then he just becomes a big head with a tiny body.
Yeah.
Funny visual.
Funny.
Horrifying for the man. But he was a bad guy. So,
he was a bad guy, so it's
like... I mean, he was a bad guy because he was poisoned by the pin particles that Hank Pym was creating.
Yeah, but Hank Pym didn't give him... The good pin particles, so it created his own.
Yeah, here, just have some bad pin particles. Yeah. Okay.
I left these out in the sun. So, yeah, you're supposed to get these refrigerated, actually, and I didn't. Here's some news. This is also a rumor. Grain of salt. So this is a vibe. It's about the new Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to quickly get the source of this because that is important. Because
we need to blame somebody. This is not
giant freaking robots.
Oh, again, not reliable.
But there's some other people kind of backing this up. So
okay,
we'll
sure.
See.
All right. It's still fun to talk about it, even if it is all lies.
Exactly. Mm. We love lies at the Weekly Planet. Send us your lies. Tell us their lies, though.
You've got to tell us their lies.
Sometimes you see a poster and you think, like, yeah, that's probably a poster. I don't know. Sometimes I see, like there'll be a new Spider-Man poster or a new whatever, and people are like, this is the worst poster ever. And I'm like, is it? I can't tell. Is it? This isn't, like, the classic poster I like.
Well, they've done
this isn't, like, the Bridge Over the River Kwai, the poster for the Bridge Over... Yeah, no.
Where it's just, you know, there's old school posters and it's just like a distant shot of two men and then the entire plot is written on the poster. Just these huge blocks of text. It's not what a poster is. It's a news article.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, it's easy to point to, like, posters from the past and go, that was a good poster.
Yeah.
But, like, 400 posters came out that year. They weren't all good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was going to say, I think the ones... We've seen one recently which is just like it's Spider-Man in the foreground and then it's just all those weird additional like it's thrown in the Green Goblin and all that.
Yeah, and they're not all great.
I think that's terrible, but there was one recently I think there was a series of one-shot character posters.
Yes,
it's Octopus like and Green Goblin and others sort of they're front and center and then we see the corner of Spider-Man's body. I thought those were pretty good actually.
Well, actually, they're bad and not
oh,
as good
no,
as,
I don't know anything.
Not as good as a poster of two men in the distance and then the description of...
I'm going to look up Bridge Over the River Kwai poster and see.
It probably just looks like the Suicide Squad poster, if I'm honest. Anyway, our trusted and proven inside source.
As giant and freaking robot.
Has told us that Letitia Wright, who plays Shuri, I should say, and probably the new Black Panther, allegedly doesn't want to return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe because she is unwilling to get the vaccine.
Uh-oh.
So during the summer of 2021, Disney issued a mandate for COVID-19 vaccinations on their sets. The mandate reportedly didn't apply to Black Panther 2 as it was already underway, but it will for future Marvel Cinematic Universe productions. If Wright is unvaccinated, which according to The Hollywood Reporter, she is, so that's a more reliable source, and doesn't want to change that, she may be frustrated and ready to be done with Disney/Marvel. So there you go. It also says that there is still plenty of room for Wright to change her mind if the allegations are true. A big question here is whether she'll be returning to Black Panther 2, which begins again in January. Shut down production.
Mm.
So, I think something is happening here. We just kind of don't know the specifics of it. And if she doesn't want to get vaccinated, that is you can choose not to do that.
That's true.
But also Disney can say, well, we're a private company, and we can say, then we're not going to hire you to do this. Do you know what I mean?
I do know.
I mean, it's a very strange stance to be like, I'm going to throw away 20 years of paychecks.
I agree.
For a thing that I believe is actually beneficial.
Yeah. Wow.
Controversial, I know, to some, but so that's kind of where we're at this point. That poster doesn't look like any of the posters I know. It's just a bridge.
It's a bridge, and it says the bridge on the River Kwai, and then it says a towering triumph. It says winner of 34 major international awards, and then every member of the cast is written there.
Wow.
Pretty good.
How many do you recognize?
Alec Guinness.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's a good movie, though,
yeah.
I think. All right, Cinema Blend.
Oh, yes. I've certainly heard of them.
They spoke to Kevin Feige, and he said,
let's get blending, they said. That's their slogan.
Let's get blending, and he said, I speak to 1,000 outlets a day. I don't know what that means. Do you want me to say, let's get you? Which are you one of the good ones?
We're doing a fun interview where we all blend stuff. We've all got a blender in front of us. We're all going to blend fun things.
Blend your phone, Kevin Feige.
Blend your hat and your phone. Take your stupid Marvel hat off. Stick it in the blender. Oh, I don't actually want to. Blend your hats and your phone, Kevin. This will be, you know, all the footage will be bad if you don't blend all your prized possessions. Blend your Rolex. Put your Rolex in there.
So he says, if we were to see Daredevil in upcoming things, Charlie Cox, yes, would be the actor playing Daredevil.
I did say that, yeah.
Which confirms to me, at least, that he's probably going to be in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then other things. But yeah, he'll be back. Good.
If we were going to cast a Daredevil, it would be Charlie Cox, but we will never, ever do Daredevil again.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it cuts to they've invited Charlie Cox in. He's on the next episode of Let's Get Blended or whatever it is.
Blend your phone, Charlie Cox.
Blend your tears, Charlie Cox. Blend them. Put your tears in there.
We're blending the DVD copies of Daredevil because you're done, Charlie Cox. It's a metaphor. We don't care about any of our other upcoming projects. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a rumor that the Doctor Strange trailer is going to play at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Ooh.
They are connected, obviously.
That's true, yeah.
Doctor Strange and various other multiverse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in – the last time that happened was the first Avenger. They played an Avengers teaser.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
So that's 10
And since they have done – I mean, obviously, they're famous post-credits. They've done some snippets. What was the one? Remember the one where Falcon's like, hey, I know a guy. You know that one?
Oh, yeah, and then they just played a scene from...
They've got the Bucky's trapped in a something or other.
In a vice.
Yeah, he's trapped in a vice.
Yeah. Well, that could be a good one. Put your head in this vice, Kevin Feige. You can keep your hat on, but put your head in it.
Is this... This is vice.com.
Yes.
Okay, right. Everybody's just doing literal... They're just doing... They've been inspired by Hot Ones, and they're just doing literal stunt interviews based on their name.
I'm from Collider. You got to crash your car into this wall.
You have to crash your Porsche. That's right.
It's better if you don't use your seatbelt. It's obviously up to you, but like, but the guy from Daredevil didn't use his seatbelt.
Sean Evans, he doesn't use a seatbelt. He'll do whatever you do.
We're in this together.
Let's do it, bro.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
And the last thing is next week we are, of course, going to be talking about Spider-Man. Now, we were going to do Snake Eyes this week.
That's true.
But then we got a chance to see a screening of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, which is not out in Australia until New Year's Day.
There were screenings and they're gone now if you haven't seen them as of yet. So we're going to move Snake Eyes to next week. We'll try and squeeze it in around Spider-Man, obviously.
Mm.
But there is a
video. I think we can do that.
Yeah,
there won't be enough. I mean, I would assume we won't have a lot to say about Spider-Man No Way Home, so there'll be plenty of time. You know, we allot a certain amount of time to movie reviews, so I think there will be time next week for Snake Eyes.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I'm seeing this on Tuesday, Australian time, which is like Monday or early Tuesday.
Spider-Man, you're saying.
Spider-Man in the US, which is when all the critic screenings happen.
Uh-huh.
Stay off the internet.
Yeah.
Because someone is going to ruin it straight away.
I'm seeing it on Friday, so no spoilers, please.
Yeah. So just heads up, just FYI.
Everyone out there.
Because I'm going to be spoiling it. That's what I'm going straight to
Twitter. You're going to be spoiling in cinema. Because what they make you, for people that don't know, when you go to a media screening a lot of the time, they make you put your phone in like an RF block, a blend, obviously. I mean, if it's presented by Cinema Blend, obviously.
Yeah.
But they make you put your phone in like a RF-proof pouch so it can't.
Yeah.
sometimes you can just open it, but you should bring a burner phone.
Bring a fake phone.
Fake phone.
It's live stream the whole thing.
That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a video on my channel which has just gone up, which Lawrence edited, that I wrote this week. It's called The Great Spider-Man Suit Heist.
Oh.
And basically it's about the story how when they were filming the first Spider-Man movie, four of the suits were stolen and they were worth $50,000 each.
These are Maguire Spider-Man suits.
Maguire, so it's about how they made the suit, like the effort they went into, how they were stolen, what happened, who did it, how they recovered, and then what happened to that guy afterwards.
Oh,
so,
the thief.
Yeah.
The alleged thief.
I think it's really fascinating. Like I was kind of researching like, oh, I should do a Spider-Man video this week. And I vaguely remember the story and I'm like, oh shit, there's like a lot of detail in here. And I found like court documents like relating to his divorce, which also maybe got him, like did him in. And, like,
oh, I see,
it's
right.
It's like a whole thing, yeah. So
so the court documents were like the ex-wife wanted two of the Spider-Man suits.
Yeah, that's right.
For any new lovers in future.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's a really interesting story and Lawrence did a great edit. And we're doing Japanese Spider-Man this week.
That's right, yeah. And watched a few episodes of that, yeah. Well.
So good stuff.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, 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 it's time for another Ghostbusters movie. Let's take another shot at Ghostbusters.
Sure, let's do it.
5 years after the last Ghostbusters movie. And I'll tell you this much, as mentioned last week.
Yes.
I'm fucking sick of Ghostbusters.
No, that's right.
I hate everybody involved with Ghostbusters.
You started as a non-fan of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
My
indifference was palpable.
You were Ghostbusters ambivalent. You were Ghostbusters agnostic. Mm. And then you encountered some Ghostbusters movies. You're like, not bad.
Yep.
And then you encountered some Ghostbusters fans. And you're like, oh, nope.
Hate it.
Do you think you'd feel differently because you've grown up as a Star Wars fan?
Yeah.
So you can sort of understand. You know, a lot of people say nobody hates Star Wars as much as Star Wars fans. Like you can sort of understand. You don't necessarily approve of it, but you're like, oh, I get.
Yeah,
this.
I think so. Maybe that. Yeah, because I think it's like I'm annoyed because people are like, how can you have this opinion? And I'm like, well, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed because like I didn't need to step into this. So it's really my own fault in a way.
Sure,
I guess I'm more angry at myself.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But anyway, all those Caravan of Garbage got 1 billion views. So it's all worth it.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I'm like, bloody. Anyway, so this was made for $75 million, which was significantly less than the last one. Mm-hmm. And it's only made at this point $149 million, which is not great.
Well, that is by the laws of Hollywood accounting, that is covered the production and the marketing.
Yeah, but it was delayed. And I think there's a moment where they go into a tomb and you see the they're like 2021 on like HD thing. And I'm I bet they CGI'd that off.
Yeah, I think so. Because there's a couple of those particular shots and a lot of it, it's just 202 and then shadow. And I'm like, okay,
they've done a shadow here, haven't they?
They've done a shadow here, yeah.
So look, I think it's a property that kind of, it's never been as successful as it was.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Again, I'm not saying people haven't liked things since or hated and the video games, et cetera. But yeah, it's also not a good year for movies in general.
That's true.
Like, you know, and this, so, you know, but again, it's done well enough and maybe there'll be a sequel. What do you think the story was?
Oh, James. Oh, okay.
He says.
This is his family. There's a mom and two kids.
Yep.
And they're like, we got kicked out of our apartment. We're going to go live in a dead granddad's farm. Oh, don't want to live there.
But who's their granddad?
Don't want to say. Some guy.
Mm.
Is it a spoiler to say who it is? I mean, if you've seen the trailers, you know who it is.
Pretty obvious, yeah.
And I think, yeah, but let's not say.
Okay, fine.
So maybe he's probably just a regular crazy old man. He lives on a farm, but maybe he's a scientist.
That's right.
Maybe Ghostbusters.
Maybe Ghostbusters. Maybe there needs to be some Ghostbusters. They look at each other and they go, maybe Ghostbusters, reckon.
Yeah.
I think there's some Ghostbusters here.
Mm, and it's a little small town. And what's the small town's got a secret?
What's the secret?
Ghosts.
Yep.
And Ghostbusters.
And Ghostbusters. The small town is planning to do the first Ghostbusters movie.
It's true,
I think they've pretty much got that locked in for
the year 2021. They're like, definitely for the third act, we'll do Ghostbusters, I reckon, they'll say.
Also in those years, because I think it's like 1946, 1984, and then it's an odd numbered year. It's like 2021.
Oh, okay.
So is that right? It might be 45. I can't remember.
Anyway,
there's a thing when they go in and it's like, these are the years.
You're obsessed with this cave scene, aren't you?
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Look, of the sequels, the reboots, and shut up with your cartoons and video games and whatever, I think this is the best one, the best thing they've done.
As a longtime fan of Ghostbusters, but one of my favorite movies, the first one as a kid, I'm saying I thought this was very good. I enjoyed this. I thought this was good fun. It's a different genre of movie. The first one is a comedy with some supernatural elements. It's some funny guys dicking around.
Yep.
Nobody's taking it that seriously. Well, Dan Aykroyd is.
Yeah.
This one is sort of very earnest. It's kind of the Goonies, and it's got some funny lines in it.
I think you're thinking of Stranger Things.
It's a very Stranger Things, isn't it? Yeah.
Because there's Stranger Things kids.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's good. I think the obvious comparison is probably The Force Awakens, in the sense that it has to be a sequel and a reboot.
And there's a bit where Han Solo turns up, if you know
exactly,
what I mean.
That's right.
Whatever. Look, I will say this, like, I don't think it's very funny, and that bothered me. I think it's too slow. I think there's 40 minutes of, like, what's the secrets of the Ghostbuster? Oh, we found the PKE meter. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's a ghost trap. And I'm like, I know! I know what all this is! And it's like, what's the mystery? And I'm like, it's Ghostbusters!
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, this is annoying. Can we get to some stuff, please?
See, well, that's interesting because I think there are two other demographics here, which is maybe
young
people who haven't seen any of this. Maybe they haven't even seen the first Ghostbusters, who'd be like, oh, what is this? Mm. Like, in an interesting way. And I think there's also Ghostbusters fanboys who would be like, oh, they've found the PKA meter. Oh, my God, they've found the trap. All of this is very exciting and it's building up to
I guess it would be if I cared anything about this franchise.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for you, that's like, oh, my God.
Well, I think
there's a fireball in the house for some reason.
We did get a little introduction when I went to see the media screening from someone and they were like, a lot of Easter eggs. And then we saw a video from Jason Reitman who was like, there's a lot of Easter eggs.
And did he say Bustin' makes you feel good?
He didn't say that, no.
Didn't he?
No, but he mimed it. Like in a sex way.
Like a jack-off motion.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway, you get it. The true fans get it. But I wasn't there for the Easter eggs. Like, I think they could have chopped out a bunch and I wouldn't have cared. But I felt like this, to me, this was more akin to Logan, you know, X-Men.
Yeah,
one,
okay,
and then to Logan. Like, I think it was, you know, a great first one and then a kind of a capper, which has a different tone entirely, but I think they both work together. And if you'd only ever watch the first one and this one, I think you'd be like, that's a satisfying.
I don't know for me whether this is a strength or a weakness, but I'm initially like, this isn't funny. I'm not enjoying this.
It's not unfunny.
No, it's not unfunny, but
I thought there was.
And I like the leads, like the new leads. I think they're good.
So who do we have?
Sorry, I just wanted to quickly say. So for me, when they're like, Like, I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, let's just do the leads, whatever.
No, funny. It wasn't funny, you were saying.
Yeah, but then I was kind of like, oh, no, they're doing a different thing, and I'm okay with that. Like, it doesn't need to be a retread of the first one, even though it is a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like I settled into, like, what it was doing as opposed to, like, this should be funnier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think also a lot of it is it's – oh, sorry, yeah, I don't know whether this – it depends how you come at this, whether it's a strength or a weakness.
Uh-huh.
But it's so much of this is like it's a homage of paying tribute and like, oh, remember this. Oh, what a magical moment seeing this thing again that happened before. Uh-huh. And like for me, I'm like I don't care.
Sure, yeah.
And like, but I know for other people, it's like, oh, this, like, it's a magical moment. But also, I know that like a lot of the stuff and the lines that they put in and like, there's a cop where he was like, "Who are you gonna call?" And what, like, there's that line and whatever. And
you're doing a lot of pain touching of your face.
Yeah. So it's just, I think like there are certain, there like a lot of these things were just made up on the day and like were the results of the limitations of the budget and not doing the big blown out script that they originally wanted to do. And you don't need to be like, oh, this is like hallowed turf or whatever, this thing that they accidentally made a success in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? To be like, this is so important. I'm like, I don't think it's important. I think it was an accident and you don't have to necessarily adhere to all of that necessarily.
Right. Uh-huh.
Anyway, again, I thought it was okay.
Yes.
But the leads. So we had McKenna.
Carrie Coon, I was going to say, who is in Fargo.
Yeah, she's
and
good.
And The Leftovers. She's
yes.
in a bunch of stuff.
I really like her.
Yeah. As a sort of a harried single mom.
Yeah.
I thought the family dynamic was good. So
we get
Finn Wolfhard as the older brother. And then what is her name? Her name
McKenna
is
Grace.
McKenna Grace.
She was really good.
Also contributes a song to the soundtrack.
Oh, does she?
The,
okay.
The last song on the in during the credits
is
a song
okay.
about ghosts in a house.
Ghosts. There's ghosts in a house.
There's ghosts. I like the family.
Did you like
dynamic.
The boy podcast? Hi, my name's Podcast.
I thought I would hate him, but I didn't.
He was all right. Yeah
I thought initially I'm like, oh, this guy is going to be thoroughly annoying. But I think he kind of endearing.
Yeah.
I was going to say like the family dynamic is really good. And they felt like a real family to me. Like there wasn't any element of, because obviously Phoebe, who is the young daughter, starts experiencing some ghost phenomenon. And there wasn't an element of like the older brother being like, what are you talking about with your stupid, there's no ghosts, there's no such thing as ghosts. What's this PK matter?
Yeah.
You know.
They felt more like actual siblings.
It's actual siblings, yeah.
Yeah, and Paul Rudd's in it as well, of course. Doing his just Paul Rudding about, isn't he?
He's Rudding about.
But he disappears for like 20, 30 minutes at some point in the movie.
For a bathroom break.
Yeah.
He says, I, Gary Gruberman, am going to the toilet. I'll see you in 20 to 30 minutes
if you know
what I mean.
I wish, though, there was more stuff because, like, even the new stuff, a lot of it is old. Because it's like, look, it's the ghost Muncher. It's like, this is Slimer.
Yeah.
You've just repainted Slimer.
Sure.
And that's what's going on here, you know? And he's gross and he's running about. It's just it's Slimer again, you know?
But I guess, I mean, I kind of feel like they need a kind of like a fun ghost presence to sort of hang the story on. And they couldn't use Slimer because why would Slimer be out in the Midwest?
Because he was in a trap. They got him in a trap or whatever.
I guess he was in a trap, yeah.
Because they also had that cabbie was there. He was eating a food at the diner or whatever.
That might have been a different dead cabbie.
I think it might have been the same cabbie. I only recognized one other new ghost, which was the eyeball one.
Yeah, right.
And everything else seemed to be like ghosts and things that I'd seen before. I'll say this though, like I didn't get tired of like the Ecto one with a gunner seat taking a corner at like 90.
Yes,
which
it
does like five or six times. There's a chase in this, which is, it's really good.
I think it's really well paced as well, yeah.
Mm. It's fun. Spoilers?
Yeah, spoilers. Look, I think, I think it did a pretty good job. It, for me, like, if it had been overly
sentimental.
Well, I went into this, you know, hearing quotes from Jason Reitman and et cetera saying things like, well, actually, this one, we've really written this one for the fans in mind. And I'm like, you don't write anything for the fans. Write a thing that you think is good.
Yeah.
I would rather that. But
it could be both, I guess.
I didn't feel like it was overwhelmingly like, you like this?
No, I agree.
You like
with that.
This?
Yeah.
Well, we're putting this in.
I think some people will see that
in
it. But I think the general consensus of like hardcore Ghostbusters nerds, just awful men in their 40s.
I'm listening.
Is that it's good or good enough.
Oh, my ears are burning.
No, there's some great Ghostbusters fans. Like Luke McGregor, who we know is like a huge Ghostbusters fan. I'm just a miserable prick. I also think that like there's a ghost at one point, like, guiding McKenna Grace, you know what I mean? And she's learning about stuff and the ghost helps them on. I think that's, like, fun little nods. It may go too far. Do you want to talk about spoilers?
Let's talk about spoilers. I'm going to say best movie ever.
I'm going to say it was all right.
Okay.
I also thought it was, like, 40 minutes too long up the front of the movie.
I never really felt it dragging, but there you go. And maybe it's because I was going to say I haven't seen a Ghostbusters movie in cinemas in years, but I have. I saw Ghostbusters 2016.
That's right, you did. Anyways, Harold Ramis is in this at the start.
Oh, spoilers. We were in spoilers, folks.
We're doing spoilers, yeah. He's in it at the start.
Yes.
And then he's also comes back as a ghost at the very end.
Yes, he does, yeah.
In a very impressive CGI recreation.
Yeah.
But he doesn't talk, so I think that probably helped, because once you start moving the face, that's when...
That's true. There was just a lot of kind of...
It's also interesting, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they took the look of what Harold Ramis would look like in the Ghostbusters universe as opposed to real-life Harold Ramis.
When he looked like in the last few years of his life.
He's like Han Solo Harold Ramis. He's got the stubble and he's like...
Yes, exactly.
He's got the cool hair and all that.
Yeah.
He's more like the cartoon.
Yeah, like Egon. If you look at the last couple of Harold Ramis roles in film, he was kind of like a big jolly fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
He's with Seth Rogen in a cafe or whatever, you know what
but
I mean?
Sort of,
hanging out
they've
together.
Gone, okay, well, what would he look
what
like?
What a cool Ghostbusters dude.
And he's also an obsessed scientist.
He's got the hair and...
Yeah.
And all that.
But I was going to say, what I did enjoy about the final sequence... Oh, also, a couple of surprise cameos. We get J.K. Simmons as Ovo Shandor.
Was there more to that? Was there supposed to be more of him in this?
I don't think there was.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, but he's in it for literally two... Well, you see his body and then he's in it for a minute maybe and then he's killed. And then we get, I believe, an uncredited Olivia Wilde as Goza the Gozerian.
Really good.
Yeah, good.
Good casting.
Good redesign. Like, it really captured the original design, because obviously the third act was just Ghostbusters again. But like a sort of modernized version. It didn't look like she was wearing a leotard. But what I liked about the big finale is...
That you like Ghostbusters and they did Ghostbusters again?
They did Ghostbusters again, but what I liked about it was that the old Ghostbusters showed up and didn't... It felt like they were going to save the day.
Yeah.
And it was at that moment where I was like, oh, this is what he was talking about when they said we're writing this for the fans. The Ghostbusters are just going to show up and sort of... We'll do some hand waving.
I mean, they kind of do.
They kind of do, but also I like the fact that they were like, okay, here we go. Like, we crossed the streams. Like maybe it's just you know, that's what we did last time. We crossed the streams.
Did you get like a Han Solo coming aboard the Millennium Falcon moment when the three Ghostbusters showed up? Because even me, notorious hater of Ghostbusters.
That's not true.
I really like the first movie. Was like, oh, that's good to see. Like seeing, like, because we haven't seen these guys on screen together since the 90s.
That's true. I mean, early 90s. Yeah, we know they all got cameos in 2016, but they were never
it's
together.
Not the same, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to see them again.
And they're doing their quips.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ernie Hudson looks incredible.
He does. he looks amazing. The same, essentially, as he did back then. I enjoyed the fact that they were like, well, we'll just cross the streams like we did last time, and then Goza uncrosses the stream because she remembers.
Yeah.
And then all the team had to, you know, I liked how all the new guys and all the old guys worked together. And I think that is probably what the fanboys wanted out of Ghostbusters 2016.
Definitely.
They wanted that would be the minimum threshold that they wanted to approve of that movie would be all the old guys and the new guys teaming up.
I do wonder, though, whether that would have been enough. If we hadn't have had that 2016 movie, where it would have been like, it was bullshit, it was kids, and then they showed up at the end.
Oh, great.
Like, I wonder where it's like, no, that's enough for me now.
If the last one had sort of tempered expectations. Great question.
Yeah, we'll never know. That is an unanswerable question. I did think that Annie Potts was kind of wasted and not funny and droll as she kind of is.
Yeah, right.
You know, and she's at the end and she's just like, tell me about your company, Ernie Hudson. Oh, you're a successful businessman, Ernie Hudson. Yeah, I'm going to rebuild the Ghostbusters.
But why? There's no one of ghosts.
I've had business internationally. I always was a Ghostbuster. She's like, that's very good.
I was briefly the warden of a prison, but I don't talk about that. Doesn't play well public relations-wise.
Yeah, that's right. I thought I think she's really funny, and especially in that first one, just kind of like, okay, ghostbusting, I guess. Mm. But I didn't think she was used very well in this.
Yeah.
And there was no Rick Moranis, though. Paul Rudd was doing a hell of a Rick Moranis.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. when he became
the dog man or whatever, you know? Mm. Did you like, were there bits when it's like, oh, she's wearing the Sigourney Weaver dress or whatever?
Well, I always wondered where she got the dress.
Yeah, I thought it was just in her cupboard.
Just an 80s dress, sure.
I mean, maybe it was that, then Goza was like, oh, that's how people dress or whatever.
Because it also makes me wonder why Paul Rudd didn't get an outfit or why Harold Ramis didn't get an outfit.
Yeah. He did have that
maybe
kind
of... Maybe only the girl gets an outfit.
Maybe the only the girl...
It's a sacrificial maiden kind of thing.
Gets maybe. An outfit. But I do want to talk about the ghost cameo of Harold Ramis.
Yes, go on.
And, you know, and everybody seemed like moved... like on screen, and it looked like Dan Aykroyd. It looked like some of them were like genuinely like upset, or maybe just acting very well. But like you know, they knew in the moment that was you know they were going to be with Harold Ramis again, despite him passing away like 10 years ago. But is that a good idea to be like he's a CGI dead man?
We'll see.
And it, like where's the line between like fan service and homage and like digging up graves?
Oh, in terms in terms of the real world. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume the Ramis family approved
of
this.
Of course, I don't know.
But I mean, but I feel like from a plot perspective,
yeah,
I think this is fine.
Yeah.
Because I think he had like a, you know, he gets a brave send off at the start where he's like, you know, he's this sort of misunderstood man, and he's doing this to save the world, and it's cool and it's brave and there's a chase and all that sort of stuff. I enjoyed that a lot, and I think this works as like if they brought him back for the next one and he was just there and waving and talking, and he's just a presence around the firehouse or whatever, I'd be like, this is too far.
Yeah.
But I think just the very idea, I to me, and again, you know, maybe it's cynical, but as a fan, I was like, oh no, this is quite. This is a nice send off.
Do you think it would have been worse if he looked worse? Like if it had been like Tron legacy kind of like, this is unpleasant.
I imagine it could very well have been like they probably wrote the script and they were like,
can we pull this off?
Here's the end bit. We're doing this first. Start on this now. Yeah. Make a Harold Ramis in CG that doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
I wonder, does he have any relatives that look like him or something?
Great
I wonder
question.
If they modeled it off.
I think they obviously used a guy up top because they didn't show him up at the start
of the
movie.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Which was a very wise decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then when you can kind of cover him in a blue
that's
sparkling
true, yeah.
lights or whatever. Oh. But yeah, like it was fun seeing like Bill Murray like doing gags and whatever. I especially like the Sigourney Weaver. I think they still work really well together.
Yeah. And Sigourney Weaver still looks amazing.
Looks incredible.
Like when you pair her up with Bill Murray, you're like, wow, that's...
Yeah.
Boy, she's looking great, Sigourney Weaver.
Bill Murray's doing some hard living, you know what I mean? Yes, he's got kids, but it doesn't seem like any of them particularly look like him. But anyway, I mean, you just get a guy that looks like him.
Yeah, that's true.
Roughly. You don't need the face, you just need the rest of him.
Yeah, yeah. But also there was that second the second post-credits, which we talked about, which I think used maybe a deleted scene from...
It did, from the first movie. Yeah, about the coin.
Yeah, yeah, where Annie Potts gives Egon a little...
Did they have a relationship?
I don't think so. Ooh.
Because I know in the second one it's... what's his name? It's not Harold Ramis.
No, it's Lewis Tully.
Lewis Tully, yeah.
Good question. I don't
like,
know.
Because they purposely avoid who the mother is. They don't make mention of it, like, at all.
Yeah.
Of Carrie Coon.
Maybe that's a revelation for the next one.
That's
if they
what
ever
I'm
do.
Talking about. Ghostbusters Revelations.
Whoa, two.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I'm a successful businessman and I'm buying the firehouse.
But it would be an incredibly weird situation for Annie Potts to be like, hey, welcome to the farm. Also, I'm your mother.
That I know. I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Who you also never met.
Yeah.
I think I don't. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I thought the implication was that the dad ran off, that Egon ran off.
Yeah.
And then this woman was raised by her mother.
Yeah.
So who is that?
Who is that? Just someone, I reckon.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes a ghost.
Ghost.
Maybe Peter McNichol from Ghostbusters 2, but he's in the nanny costume.
Yeah. So there you go. Do you think we're going to get another one of these?
Probably not. But I think this is a, you know, this is
a good
send-off.
Kappa?
I think it's a good, yeah.
Let me check. Ghostbusters, Afterlife. Maybe Sony will finally go, we're not doing these anymore.
Yeah. But here's the thing, it's pre-existing IP. What are they going to do, make a new thing?
Ridiculous.
Unlikely. I think they'll just wait 10 years and give it another crack.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Just wait for another one and to die and then bring him back as a ghost.
I think they'll do, I reckon they'll probably just, yeah, I think they might even wait 10 years and they get Finn Wolfhard and McKenna Grace and podcast, Logan Kimmer's podcast, and make them the adult Ghostbusters. And maybe Ernie Hudson is, you know, 10 years older, but he still looks the same. And he's like, we've made the Ghostbusters again.
I am a businessman.
Ghosts are back.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of shares in Ghost Futures and Ghosts are back. So we're fighting ghosts.
Oh, the ghost trap machine looked like it was going to go off. as well.
Yeah,
remember
right.
At the end. So this is from,
also that maybe that's the key to the sequel is the ghost trap.
The painting comes back. Jason Wrighton says, I wish I could talk to you more about that, the sequel. Well, I'm just saying that's a plot that is not in the film and we have more ideas moving forward. He stressed that Ghostbusters 2 is canon and there are efforts to Ghostbusters 2 in Afterlife.
And why is it the Ecto-1, Jason Wrightman, and not the Ecto-1A, Jason Wrightman?
He says we meet,
maybe they're two different vehicles, I don't know.
Potentially. We meet Ray working at the occult, Ray's occult, the toast from Ghostbusters 2 in the kitchen of the farmhouse.
Oh, and I was right, the thing, his tattoo said Revelation.
It did, there you go. Yep. And there's actually lots of Ghostbusters 2 details. But yeah, but here's the thing as well. This is not a Ghostbusters 2 sequel.
There might be nods,
but it's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure they did put the toaster in, but
it could very well be a parallel universe where Ghostbusters 1 happened and then just Ray opened an occult bookstore and it's got nothing to do with Ghostbusters 2. Yeah.
It's like how they ignored Highlander 2 for Highlander 3, 4, 5, 6 and the TV series.
Very true.
Don't you agree, Mason?
I 100% agree, yes.
Anyways, I guess you can go and say it.
Me again?
Yeah.
I'll treat myself to it.
Got some reviews here. This is from Guna.
Ramus's likeness is used in the film with Bob Gunton and Ivan Reitman as the body doubles.
Oh.
So they got Ivan Reitman. I don't know who Bob Gunton is. Let's have a look. Probably
a guy who looks kind of like him.
Bet he does. He was in Shawshank, the prison, the real prison, for impersonating Harold Ramis.
Oh, yeah, this guy. No, he doesn't look like him at all.
Not even a little bit.
Nope. I mean, he's old.
Sure.
But we're all old.
He's the warden. He's the warden in Shawshank. Okay. Oh, he looks a little bit
it
like
It could
him.
Be this Bob Gunton. There's a different Bob Gunton. Is it him?
No, it's not him.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that guy looks more like Harold Ramis than...
Other than the warden from Shawshank.
So did you say Ivan Reitman played...
The body double, yeah. Two guys. I guess maybe they needed some alternate takes or something. Maybe one's the guy from the start, one's the guy from the end.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Ivan Reitman makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, because he directed the first Ghostbusters, everybody, and Ghostbusters 2.
And apparently he was, according to the Jason Reitman's like little message at the start of the movie, apparently he was there on set every day.
Well, that must be annoying.
Yep.
Anyway, it's from Guna who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, really enjoyed Ghostbusters Afterlife as a mixture of the old and the new. The uncast did a fantastic job of keeping the energy high and the special effects crew earned their keep. I agree with that. Stranger in a Stranger Land, that's good, says, saw Ghostbusters at a fun time. Having never seen the original, I thought it didn't live up to it. I went back and watched it and they seemed basically equal to me. I'm sure I'll get hate for that. And Craig says, more like Ghostbusters algorithm, boom, got him. Seriously though, I didn't think it was very good.
All right.
So yeah, there you go. But I would say of the correspondence we got, it's mostly positive.
Yeah, and again, I think it probably is... It wouldn't surprise me if in a rewatch I went, I gave this too much credit.
Yeah.
It is just algorithmically generated, like but it's a feeling you get. You know?
And you like Ghostbusters.
I do.
And they did the Ghostbusters
thing. Busted makes me feel good.
That's what you screamed in the cinema.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, yeah, there you bloody go.
Did you know this, James? Mm. I did not know this, but I've recently learned it.
Yep.
Mere moments ago. Carrie Coon was also in Avengers Infinity War as Proxima Midnight.
I didn't know that, yes.
There you go.
I nearly said it up top, but I was waiting for you to have that revelation.
Well, I've said it now.
Have that Ghostbusters revelation. Here we go.
Revelations make me feel good.
Revelations make me feel good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ghostbusting. All right, let's do the theme song.
Okay. Also, you know what?
They finally did the Ghostbusters theme at the
end. I was going to say, it
took them fucking long enough.
Remarkably restrained with the Ghostbusters theme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're probably right, actually. Yeah. Here we go. The what we're reading?
Yes.
You ready for that segment at the show?
Oh, what we're reading, what we're going to read. Yeah.
Yeah, you're ready, aren't you?
I'm doing the thing.
Westworld. Mason, I know you love to talk about what you're Westworlding this week.
Yes, I do.
This and every other
Today,
week.
I took myself to the picture shows and I saw The French Dispatch, the new Wes Anderson movie.
What did you think of it?
It was good. I liked it. Had fun.
Was it better than The Grand Budapest Hotel?
I think it is.
Was it better than the one where those scouts went missing and Bruce Willis is in it or whatever?
Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Is it better than the one with Jason Schwartzman?
All of them.
Yeah. Is it better than all of those?
My favorite.
Rushmore. Was it better than Rushmore?
I think it was probably better than
The Life Aquatic with Steve
I reckon it was, yes.
Was it better than Bottle Rocket? He didn't make that one, did he?
Maybe he did. Maybe he did make
it. Was it better than Fantastic Mr. Fox stop motion animated?
Yes, I think it was.
I like that movie.
I think it was good. You didn't mention the Darjeeling Limited, which is maybe my favourite.
No, I did. I said Jason Schwartzman.
Okay, it's true, he did.
Is he in that one?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Okay, he's one of the three brothers. I mean, this brings back all pretty much all the regulars, like all the Wes Anderson regulars.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's in it.
Luke Wilson.
No, Owen Wilson's in it.
Okay.
Adrian Brody.
Yep.
But it's basically, this one's like a series of vignettes. It's like, this
like
one.
Like Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, like that. So it's as opposed to most of the other ones, it's the premise is that it's articles sort of come to life from the final edition of something called the French Dispatch,
okay.
Which is like the foreign. It's a magazine within like just some local newspaper in Kansas, but it's like their fancy Foreign Affairs Bureau,
okay.
Thing. But so it's like a couple of they're set around this French city called Ennui, and the issue is basically we get a couple of little introductions to this town and what it's like.
Yeah.
And then there's like three sort of short stories that are unconnected.
Okay.
With all the Wes Anderson regulars.
Is it good?
Well, I thought it was fun, yeah.
Yeah. What do you give it out of 100?
100.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's your high score.
I know, right?
I mean, I've never asked you before, but presumably you're giving everything 100, are you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, cool. Well, I finished, and I'm kind of disappointed that I finished it, The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
I've been just watching it over the last few months.
Uh-huh.
Got to the final episode. I know a lot of people don't like that final episode, and I guess I won't spoil it. But the director has come out since and been like, this is what happens.
Yeah, it's true.
I know it's a pretty significant cliffhanger to end on.
Yeah, but he just recently did, I think.
Yeah, very recently. But look, if you haven't seen The Sopranos, which is everybody except me until recently,
yeah, right.
It's very good. And also weird that it's so old. It's not that old, I guess, but right. Like it's so consistently good over like 8 years where television is not that good, really. And that means for me, the reason I started this is because I wanted to watch the prequel, which I will this week.
Which is out of the movies now?
Yes, but it's on streaming and whatever.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I will say this, though.
Yes.
I think it's a massive shame that James Gandolfini has passed away because I would have loved to have seen more
That's
of
a really
this.
Brave stance.
Oh, thank you. But like genuinely, there's more stuff in this world that you could do.
That's true.
And with that, like,
Sopranos go to space.
Yes, that's right. And you can obviously, Sopranos on a plane with snakes. So you could obviously do like, you can do prequels, which is what they did with his son. Go on, you got one, don't you?
Hey, Uncle Junior, there's a cobra on this 747. What are you?
What?
You know?
I don't have my memories in this episode.
Yeah. But then at the end he has to admit that, in fact, he has seen that cobra.
He's seen the cobra.
Yeah.
But, it's just a very interesting world and just watching him burn through his friends and his enemies and the people that he tortures along the way and he's awful.
Okay, but did you like the fact that the show totally, completely endorsed him as a heroic
Yes, that's what
character.
I liked about it. Everybody kept giving him a thumbs up, and so did I.
That's
I was watching
true.
Him the entire time.
After every episode, you went, thumbs up, Tony Soprano.
But you know the way, like, the Dexter's back? Like, it would have been great. I mean, and look, there are people, I guess, you could, like, Paulie's still alive, and there's people
that's
who
true.
Were in it that were still alive.
That Russian.
That Russian
they,
is still alive.
Didn't die
yeah.
necessarily.
But you just, he's gone and you can't do it. He's such a linchpin of that show.
That's true.
That you cannot do it without him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But they'll try.
Look, if they could take a run at it, they had a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that'd be terrific.
Sopranos in space, we talked about.
Yeah, Sopranos in space on a snake plane.
Yeah. Because they're like, Tony's missing.
Yeah.
Where's Tony gone? Oh, no, Tony went to space.
A rival mob family took him to the moon.
We're going to go on a quest to the moon. But will we, you know, and that's the thing. But we know that he's no longer with us. So, you know, we know their quest will end in failure somehow, but it's the journey, you know.
Maybe
what I mean?
There's a CGI.
Journey, like the band Journey.
Exactly. Like maybe there's a CGI Tony Soprano on the moon. He's just given the thumbs up at the end. And they're like, oh, it's Tone.
And he's pulled out the American flag. He's putting the Italian flag in.
And he's eating a pizza pie.
Yes.
It's in his
he's
face.
Twirling his, he's twirling his. Except he doesn't have. He's got one of those forks that twirls on its own.
Because
he's in space.
They could call it the many saints of the moon.
Yes.
It's perfect.
That's right.
Great. Anyway, letters, it's time for letters.
Yeah, momentarily, sure.
I should make that. It would make it front stop set. That's my favorite thing.
I was going to say, Tilda Swinton and Frances McDormand are in The French Dispatch.
Of course they are.
And I just, every time I see them, I'm like, they're so good in the sense that I think, and they're both in different sort of stories in this. And I spent a lot of their segments going, where have I seen this person before? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Frances McDormand. I've seen her so many things.
She's a famous actor.
Yeah, it's just, but they're, she, and same with Tilda Swinton.
There's just so many people that you didn't, yeah.
Couldn't keep up. She's just so good at like.
Oh, okay. Because
of the acting. Because of all the acting
she was doing.
Anyway, it's time for letters.
Yeah.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
As you know, it's true. People call me the Francis McDormand of podcasting because often we'll be doing a podcast and I'm doing like a different riff or a character and you get lost and you're like, what happened to James? Where did he go?
And
who's
also,
this new person?
They also call you the Francis McDormand of podcasting because I've seen three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri that say James is a huge dumbass.
It says turd, Mason.
Just say you're a turd. I was just thinking I did speak in error. I imagine if Tony Soprano was on the moon, he would leave the American flag in there and put the Italian flag.
Because
he's Italian-American.
Yeah, that's fun.
Maybe the New Jersey has
maybe
a flag.
Maybe he puts in the American flag and they're like, huh? And he turns it around and sees the Italian flag on the back and they're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, boys.
Anyway, if you want to email us some letters.
Yeah, you can hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or send over a Gmail to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first, James. Let's this is from it. Gail.
Bloody Gale Force win, bloody got him.
Nice. Subject line says, you got me therapy.
Oh.
Hey there, James and Meso. Thank you for your podcast, which stopped me from being alone with my thoughts during long journeys. On that note, a year ago, I had a lot on my mind because I was facing regular memory blackouts.
One
or more times a week, I'd lose 2 to 8 hours of my day and I'd come to not knowing what I'd done or how I'd gotten to my current location. I couldn't face seeking help for it. I couldn't find the drive. But then one time I was listening to your podcast and thought if I got a diagnosis, I could write in and have two Aussie boys read my letter out. What a stupid reason to motivate myself to seek medical help. Anyway, it worked. This week I have finally been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting this. And now I'm having to deal with being more invested in the Moon Knight show than I want to be. Why do so many characters have DID anyway? All in all, thank you for your podcast and how supportive you are of the fans who write into you from Gail. P.S. Can I be the podcast's official vegan who mentions she's vegan even when it's not relevant? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, you can.
Yeah.
That is, wow.
What a
startling revelation.
I know.
Yeah.
Onward and upward. I hope everything's
absolutely.
Going forward. I mean, you know, and that's you know.
Yeah.
Go to your doctor,
and
folks.
Good on you for getting help, for being like, hey, this podcast, I can send an email. We helped, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I think we helped in a big way. Sure. Yeah.
Incredible.
We're doctors in a way.
In a way, we are doctors.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
In fact, next time we go to the doctor, we should take the doctor's degree off the wall and put up a Weekly Planet T-shirt maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
On the wall, just nailed to the wall.
Just one of the knockoff ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. It's from my watch stuff. It says hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Now, I know you like this is sort of food related because I know you like a very specific, you know, thing.
A food thing.
And whatever we're talking about. I can't think of the
words. One of the things in the French Dispatch was about a cook who makes a police food.
What's a police food?
It's like... It's like cuisine, but it's specifically for the police. So it's like you can hold it in. It's stuff you can hold in one hand, so you can hold a gun in the other hand. And it's like it's got to be silent so you don't alert anybody.
Oh, that's fun.
You know,
Can't
leave any evidence, exactly.
That's good stuff. You know, Watch Stuff said, as a representative of Australian culture, is chicken salt truly ubiquitous there? Clickbaity food articles have led me to believe that it's an amazing secret staple you've been hiding from the world. Yeah, I didn't realize there's not a thing around the world, but chicken salt is way better than regular salt.
That's true on
most anything.
Especially chippies,
I should say. Yeah, it's mostly chips. Anything else, you probably don't want to use it.
Probably don't put it on chicken because you've already got chicken.
What are you, buddy?
You want double chicken? Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Actually, I do want double chicken.
Let's get double chicken after this.
I agree. A couple of DCs, we'll say, won't we?
That's right. We're a couple of DC fanboys, we'll say.
So, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's not like – it's probably mostly MSG, but I always get chicken salt. If requested. We got another one there, Mason?
Yeah, okay. This is from Joseph. He says, settle our petty small town squabble.
Oh, that's the thing that I meant that I was trying to allude to. I couldn't think of the words, but this is it.
Great.
This is one. What do we got?
Hey, guys. I grew up in a tiny rural town in Minnesota, called Norwood, Young America.
Oh.
It used to be two towns, Norwood and Young America. And when they merged some 40 years ago, they smashed the names together for some stupid reason.
Okay.
It's usually because both sides can't agree on a new name, so they're just like...
Yeah, absolutely.
This feels very much like the Aubrey Wodonga of America.
Oh my
god!
In fact,
if you guys are looking for a new slogan or something, you should say we're the Aubrey Wodonga of America.
Yeah.
All throughout my childhood, it was hotly debated whether it was the railroad tracks or the highway that divided the two towns.
And?
Considering you have absolutely no reference on where either is, Can you please give the official ruling so our town can be at peace?
Okay, well, listen, this is how I see it. That railroad track has probably been there longer than the highway.
That's
true. Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah.
So that was probably the initial dividing lines between Albury and Wodonga, this place we're talking about.
Mm.
So I would say from a personal perspective, and I'd like you to obviously chime in, that I think it's railway track related. What do you think?
Is the railway track spooky?
I don't know that.
Which is spookier? Is it? Well, I guess we don't need to. I would imagine the railroad track is spookier. Right?
Yeah.
I reckon it's railroad track.
Okay. We've done it then, haven't we?
Yeah.
Another case solved.
Ideally... Yeah. Evidentiary wise, we'd probably want to know where the rail, like if it's like 500 yards and then the railroad track and then 6 miles,
yeah,
like that, maybe it is the highway. But if the railroad track's right down the middle, but it doesn't matter though, because the ruling is railroad
track. I mean,
what
town is divided by a highway? What, do you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
It's not really a thing, is it?
No,
yeah, anyway, interesting,
yeah.
This is from Matthew Little, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, talk about Snow Angels comic, you cowards. I have. I already talked about it.
Yeah.
Talked about it weeks ago.
Yeah.
You should have reminded me earlier, Matthew Little.
Yeah.
Or like Matthew Little of relevance to say to this podcast. Just kidding. Thank you for writing in.
We appreciate it all the time.
It's good. Snow Angels. Check it out.
Yeah.
What do you got, Mason?
Okay, here's one more hot debate.
All right.
Okay, this is from Laurie. Here's another fiery local debate that you can hopefully settle once and for all. In England, the two fine countries of Devon and Cornwall have an ongoing rivalry about the correct order of toppings on sweet scones.
Okay.
Previously established, they're called scones.
That's right.
The two toppings are clotted cream and jam. Devonians believe that the cream should go on first, citing the relative ease of spreading the jam over the cream, whereas the Cornish assert that a dollop of cream on top of the jam is the better method. I know your word is final, set the judgment commence. However, if you disagree with me, I will be emailing you again with my own views on the subject, which we will ignore.
We're not interested.
Because we're settled. After this, it's settled.
Exactly.
Now we have
this is Judge Judy rules.
That's right.
It's done. There is no higher court in the land.
You can stamp rules.
You can stamp your little feet.
That's right.
It's obviously jam then cream.
Yeah, I was going to say it is jam then cream.
Obviously,
because we have Devonshire tea over here, which is, I guess, is ultimately the same thing. And I'm in thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know what you do, but I think logically, I think it's cream on top.
It's
jam and then cream.
Yeah, because you're trying to spread jam
on top
cream.
Of a cream. The cream's just going to spill out.
Ridiculous.
I think Do Go On have also had this debate, and I think maybe they've come out in the opposite way, but I think they're wrong.
Fuck them.
I think
that's not right.
That's right. Jam first. Because you can spread,
I'll kill Dave Warnocky. I'll take out one of their members.
Whoa.
I'll do it. Presuming he thinks that.
If he doesn't mind.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, He's a great man.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his work. I got one here from Ben Jennings. So anyway, did we side with the person who wrote the email?
He didn't say.
Well, let's find out. Anyway, we will never know, I guess, because we won't read the follow-up.
That's true.
Because it's been
decided. We'll read the follow-up, and then we'll delete the follow-up.
Yes, that's right.
Because it's been settled. That's how these work.
Yep.
They don't have to be food-related. They could be highway-related.
Highway-related, exactly. It's from Ben Jennings, who said, do you guys think they're going to wander Florence Pugh's accent? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. So, slight spoilers, I guess, for the Hawkeye show, which is currently running.
Mm.
We've been doing weekly recaps. Collings has been editing them. Fantastic stuff. Florence Pugh's Black Widow returns up at the end.
Yes.
She has a Russian accent.
Yes.
Because she's always
going very quickly.
That's correct.
To the
USSR.
Pronunciation store.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do you think they're going to – she's going to –
she's purchasing some additional Russian pronunciation.
Oh.
Yep.
From over-the-counter.
The pronunciation store, yes.
Okay, the pronunciation store. Yeah, cool.
She's got a pronunciation prescription.
How do you get one of those?
Get a pronunciation doctor.
Oh, this is all fictional though, isn't it?
No, this is real.
It's all real.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to – what are they going to do with accent? Also, do you think I should get an eyebrow lift?
Yeah, you should have asked that earlier as well because I've had to
– What do you think?
Yeah. No.
Constant surprise.
Yeah.
I could probably –
well, what happens when you actually get surprised? Your head will fall off.
Just roll off the back of my neck.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're going to keep to the movie. They might change it down the line, but I think they're going to do the movie.
Yeah, I think she seems to be having fun.
Yeah.
Also, she's not enough – I don't think she's a big enough name that she would just be like, I don't want you to do the accent anymore.
I think she is a big enough name.
She probably is.
But she will be.
Yeah.
She's not soon.
But she seems to be having fun with the accents.
Totally.
So I think they'll
– I mean, we have fun with accents here, don't we?
Yeah.
We do so many.
I'm
the Francis McDormand of billboards that call me a turd or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that it? We might
I think
be
that's
done.
That's the whole
then.
Show, yeah.
Great.
Yes.
This was a fun one, Mason. I had a fun time.
James, I always have a fun time.
I don't always.
But this time I had an especially fun. Oh, no.
And it's just to be clear, it is because of you.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
No, when I don't have a good time.
No, I meant that. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
okay,
that's
good.
Fine. That's cool, actually.
Fun times, Mason, to wrap up the show, don't you think?
It is fun times, folks. Thank you so much for listening in. Thanks for emailing in. Thanks for telling your friends about the show, for subscribing, for leaving a five-star review. We very much appreciate them. James, you got any there?
You bloody know I do, mate. I got a couple right here. This is from My Driver Truck, who says, finally some good representation. I finally found a podcast where the hosts hate their wives as much as I hate mine. Keep it up, mates, and don't let the ball and chain nag you too much. Man after my own heart.
I like that. I hope it's a joke.
Look, it would have to be, right?
I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like oftentimes we'll do like jokes sort of come in waves for like a long time. I'm like, I'll make a joke about this and then it tapers off. But I've just had a long standing just love of the joke that is man hates his wife, because it's funny, but it's also profoundly sad.
Yeah, it's really why are you even married? What are you even doing?
Yeah.
Good. Anyway, this is from Joe, and this one from Joseph Amore, who says commitment is hard. Well, maybe this is bloody why.
Oh, there we go.
Been listening to these boys for about 5 years now. I'm not going to lie, it's probably the most commitment I've had in my life. As I'm about to have my first child, I'm looking forward to raising him, listening to my favourite Australian boys. Thank you so much and congratulations. And to the person who hates their wife, everybody gets a congratulations here.
That's
at the
exactly.
Weekly
congratulations
Planet.
On hating your wife.
Yeah.
You did it. Not everybody manages it. We're making it positive. We're keeping it moving.
Putting a spin on it.
That's right.
I'm getting that eyebrow surgery, I reckon. You can just do it in app. Just do it in an
eyebrow
app.
Surgery.
Yeah, you can do it in an
just
app.
Just do it in
it's
app.
A filter.
you just put in your credit card details in the app, and then you go to sleep, and then some doctors show up, and they pin your eyebrows back.
Yeah, but no, review the show in app. Very easy.
Absolutely.
Very
now, folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Twitter, at Facebook, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod Reddit and Discord. You can follow our friend Rob Collings, who edits this podcast and edits our recap videos and does all kinds of stuff, all the admin and all the moderation, all the kinds of stuff.
Is he allowed to do all that?
I don't know. I think that's your call. Or maybe Claire. We should ask Claire. We go up there and Claire's like, what? You're not supposed to be doing any of that. He's been forbidden by law. You can follow him at Raw Collings on Twitter. You can follow him at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
That's true.
Follow me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Instagram at Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck. You can chuck in an amount you wouldn't miss. That's the amount we require.
That's what we love.
And we don't even require it.
No, we really don't. You don't absolutely do not.
Keep your money if you need your money. That's what I would plant on the flag on the moon if I was up there.
Keep your money if you need your money. How'd you get to the moon? Through big sandwich money, I assume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I built it out of unsuspecting suckers and I built a rocket ship and government subsidies. The government gave me a lot of money.
But you worked hard for it, don't you think, yourself?
I mean, I did inherit $25 million from my parents, but yes. Yeah.
But just pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. My space bootstraps.
Yeah.
You can also go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 US per month, fund my rocket ship, and you get bonus podcasts and movie commentaries and all kinds of stuff. We're going to do a Christmas movie commentary very soon.
Yep. We're thinking Die Hard.
Yeah.
That'll be up next week. At bigsandwich.co. But at the moment, there's actually, we look at the year 1995 for pop culture, which is an absolute banger for me and Mason.
Oh, yeah.
It's right in our wheelhouse.
Good stuff, 100% good
stuff. It was when the original Ghostbusters 3 was probably supposed to come out,
That's true, yeah.
I don't even know, though. Anything else?
We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. You just search for The Weekly Planet.
Yep.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. Thanks, everybody, for emailing in. Email in more petty regional squabbles. I like them.
I also just want to point out just quickly just now just how this time next week we will be doing Spider-Man. It'll be done and out.
It's true.
It's finally here.
And Snake Eyes.
And Snake Eyes. Obviously, we'll do Snake Eyes up top. We'll probably do an hour 40 on Snake Eyes. Yes. Then we'll do Ghostbusters. We owe it to the movie Snake Eyes.
Yes.
We've been pushing it back for too long. Like, we've been joking about it.
That's true.
We're actually going to do it next week.
We're actually going to do it next week. Yeah. So we're actually very excited about it, which is cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Question?
Yes.
Goodbye. No, goodbye. You have to go.
Do I have to go?
No, you don't have to go, but everyone else has to go. You can stay here and do another podcast that's just for me and you.
Great.
All right.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.